In our packets, as we're learning Shmuel Beis, the 17th chapter, the second week, Perek Yud Zayin, you'll notice that in the very back we are going to be continuously referring to a map, which will give us a little bit of a better perspective of this whole story, which we've been discussing. Now, we did already see in Perek Yud Zayin already that there was a discussion exactly what would be the best strategies as far as fighting against David. We began the parak by talking about how Avshalom, who of course was David's son, who had overtaken David, and David is on the run, that Achitophel, who had his own agendas in mind, as we've mentioned numerous times, was feeling that it was the right time to attack David right away. That he should not tarry, he should wait, should kill him, destroy him. We mentioned that what was interesting about Achitophel's advice, in which Achitophel generally was known to have given the greatest of advice compared to the advice of a malach, of an angel, the word of God himself is the advice of Achitophel, how great his advice always was, that the advice was that he should strike David now, we shouldn't even wait till tomorrow, we should kill him tonight, and also, the only person that we're going to need to kill is Hamelech Levado, we saw in Pasuk Beis. Only the king. No one else needed to be killed. And when Avshalom heard this, Avshalom felt, hey, that's a pretty good idea. Kill my father. Why not? Good idea. However, for some reason, Pasuk Hei told us that Avshalom felt it was also worthwhile, since there was also another wise person in their midst, by the name of Hushai Ha'arki, perhaps we should be asking his advice as well. And Hushai Ha'arki, in which he is, generally speaking, whenever he is mentioned next to David, they're considered to be as companions or as close friends. And Hushai used this as an opportunity to go into the camp of Avshalom. He pretended that he no longer cared about David. Avshalom actually questioned him on this, and we saw in the previous parak that Hushai said, no, it's not that I really have any respect for your father, I respect the king. He's no longer the king, you're the king, so I respect you now. So because of that, Avshalom felt, you know what, let's ask his advice. And he did. Hushai felt that, you know what, instead of just a small amount of people, 12,000, which is really not such a huge army, why would you want to do that? After all, you're not dealing with some simple person. We're talking about David here. David is an Ishchayel. He is a warrior. He's a soldier. He defeated Goliath. He was a tremendous, powerful man. What would end up happening is there's a chance that we would lose this battle and all of your power will be lost. It makes more sense, as much as you want to kill him now and tonight, let's wait. Let's not wait and do nothing, but let's wait and gather up more and more and more troops, a huge, huge army, and this way we'll certainly be able to defeat him. And as we even saw in Pasuk Yud-Beis or Gimel, that he said even if he would be able to somehow make it into a fortified city to protect himself, we have so many people that we'd be able to just take stone by stone, just surround this area in which presumably their provisions will be lost, they'll end up not having any more water or whatever. But even before that, we'll just keep dismantling this huge wall until there's not even a pebble left. And he'll be there for us to kill. And we concluded in Pasuk Yud-Dalet, V'yomer Avshalom b'chol ish Yisrael. So not only Avshalom said this, but all the Jews, everyone on Avshalom's heard both sides, said, Tova atzas Hushai Ha'arki miatzas Achitophel. On these two pieces of advice, I think the advice, as great as Achitophel's was, I think the advice that we should really be siding with is Hushai Ha'arki, and therefore we're not going to strike and kill him right away. Now, we know the reason why Hushai Ha'arki did this, as we're going to see in a few moments, is to buy time. Buying time, because David was really a sitting duck. And if Avshalom would have taken Achitophel's advice, who always gave great advice, and this was also great advice, David probably would have been killed. because he was on the western side of the Jordan, very close to Avshalom's army, and he would have been completely exposed and vulnerable. So this way, we're going to see, now Hushai, Arki, is going to give word to David to travel to the other side, to the eastern side of the Jordan, to the Transjordan, in order to be able to distance himself from this army. So that was the real motivation of Hushai Harki, which we're going to see in the next psukim. Okay.
So, why is there that space? It's within the same pasuk. There's a big space between that.
Oh. So let's finish the pasuk, I guess, and pasuk Gedal. Maybe we'll understand. Maybe we'll try to come up with an answer to that. It's a good point. Hashem Siva. So it was really God who was pulling the strings over here, so that the advice, the brilliant advice that Achitofel generally gave, which is Achitofel's advice, Hatova, it says it was good advice. This was good advice. Hashem intervened. Va'avor havi Hashem el of Shalom esara, in order that Hashem should be able to see and to bring about, as is translated here, a calamity upon Avshalom. So perhaps the reason why it's broken up is that it's coming to show you that in their mind, they thought that this was a decision that they felt was the right decision, and it had nothing to do with Hashgacha Pratit. There was no divine inspiration. There was no divine providence involved in any of this. The truth is, as much as you think, you should know, Hashem is involved. As separated as you may think God is from the picture, He really is very much involved, pulling the strings, and we are but marionettes. Yes?
And the question I have, when did Klai get involved in this?
In what?
In this situation. I just see that... I'm sorry, because I wasn't here.
Well, we're happy you're back. Yeah.
When did they get involved?
Well, we know that Avshalom was building up his respect, and a lot of the Jewish people started siding with him. He was in Hebron, and now he's in Yerushalayim. So he was gathering.
So Knei Israel came over to his.
To his side. He's the king. He's the king. Who's the king? David? He's running around. He's hiding in some cave, you know, like, whatever.
Did he declare himself the king?
At least in Hebron, he certainly acknowledged, he made himself as a king. But the fact that he walks into Yerushalayim, and not only that, but he also took advice in the previous parak, which was seemingly very bizarre advice, but we explained in the opinion of the Rambam the reasoning why he did such. That Achitofel advised Avshalom that your father, David, has pilagshim, has concubines. And he said, I have some great advice.
Take them!
So
publicly.
Publicly, right. He took them on the roof, right? Well, so everyone should see, that everyone should know that he's taking. And one of the things that we said is that there's a tremendous upside when it comes to getting married, to marry a king. It's a great thing to be married to a king. The downside is that in the event that, let's say, the king dies or is overthrown, you cannot remarry. Because you can't marry some peasant, right? You're the queen, and all of a sudden now you're married to some the shoemaker over there, you know, the blacksmith. So the exception is a pilagshim. When it comes, the exception the Rambam says is his anything that the king used, you cannot just sell on eBay, right? It has to be either burned or maybe passed down to the next king. His throne, his scepter. These are things that only another king can use. And some explain that was the same idea of the concubines. Not to compare, God forbid, a human being to an inanimate object, but the idea is that they were not to be with anyone else other than a king. So what Avshalom, the advice that Achitofel was giving Avshalom was, by taking these concubines, you are now making a statement, I'm the next king. Because no one else would have a right to take them except for you. So, I don't know if that answers your question. Okay, let's move on. Pasuk Tezvav. V'yomer Hushai el Tzadok vel el Yasar ha-Kohanim. So, Hushai, obviously, with no time to waste, goes upon hearing this privy information to Tzadok and to Eviasar, who are Kohanim, and he says as follows, Kazos or Kazos, Yoatz Achitofel, Esav Shalom, Achitofel gave this and this advice, which as we said already was, kill David and kill him tonight. V'yesikne Yisrael, as he also said this to the elders of the Israel, to these all the people sitting there, you should know, I spoke up. Because those, you acti oni. This is the way that I advise. So why is he doing this? To brag? To be a big show off? To say, you know, this guy did this, but I'm a much better person. I'm a much nicer person. So it's possible, as we're going to see in the next pasuk, he was very concerned. He was concerned that it's possible that Avshalom was fickle, and that he would not necessarily agree to the opinion that he already said, that, you know what, Hushai's advice is better. Maybe Hushai, upon contemplating it more, or maybe after that Hushai left, and Achitofel said, what, are you crazy? Let's kill him now. Maybe Avshalom will change his mind. And therefore, the reason why he's giving him this advice, and this advice was said, was that they should know that there is a chance that you still may be killed tonight. So don't think necessarily that my advice will be accepted. We're going to see that in the commentaries in a second. We see the next pasuk. It's also important, possibly just, maybe this should have been the first thing I should have said, is that David maybe would have thought in a million years, they don't really want to kill me. They don't really want to attack me. They don't want to be so brazen as to actually kill me in the middle of the night where I'm vulnerable and weak and defenseless. No. He wants to let them know that this is their mindset. These are people that will sneak up upon you and stab you in the back. So that you should be completely aware that this is their mindset and that you should not take any chances and think that things are going to be just okay. Because they're not just going to be okay.
But to hear that, he's talking to the Kohanim, not to God.
Right. So the problem is that Hushai is with Avshalom in Yerushalayim. Hushai could not just easily leave Yerushalayim and just go straight to where David is. What he needs to do is find people that he can trust, that they could go to tell David, or maybe they could also find someone else who is also more inconspicuous, someone who's not so out in the limelight to be able to tell David, which we're going to see they're
going to
pick.
So by his court, going to Tzadok and Eliezer is like a conduit to get to David.
Right, exactly.
He's fine for David, and that's what he's doing.
Right.
I know, but I mean, they're also with David.
They are with
Avshalom.
Right. David sent them as well back. David sent them as well back to continue in the avoda, the service with the Aaron and everything in Yerushalayim. He said, you know, it's Yerushalayim, so they should continue in the avoda.
He said to them, you serve me better in Yerushalayim than you serve if you were with me.
Right, and to have more people who are starving, more food to be able to find on the road, let them be there. And of course, the ulterior motive is that they are secretly in cahoots with David. And this way, right, spot. So this way they'll be able to give him information, much needed valuable information. V'aton now shilcho mehera. Go quickly, v'higidu l'David lemer, and tell David, al talen halayla be'arvos hamidbar. Do not tarry and sleep on this side of the wilderness. V'gam avor tavor. You should also, not only should you not just sit around and take a nice little nap, but avor tavor, you shall certainly cross it. And the Rashi says, what is avor tavor? So Rashi says, that's the Yarden, Rashi says. I didn't underline it. But the Jordan, cross the Jordan, you can see that on the map. These little arrows on the very last page on map 8. You can see the little arrows which indicate David's travels crossing the, I think that's David's travels. Yeah. Where it says 3, David's flight from Avshalom, right? So you see the little arrows which he's going to be crossing the Jordan River. You see where it says number 3 above the Dead Sea? So that's what he's being advised to do. Pen yevula lamelech l'chol am asher ito. Perhaps you will be yevula, means swallowed up. The Mesudasion translates in and hashchasa. You're going to be completely annihilated, decimated. You'll be destroyed. Who's going to be destroyed? Melech, the king. See this? Hushai doesn't talk about Avshalom as the king. Maybe to his face he calls Avshalom a king. But the truth is, David is the Melech. Perhaps the king will be swallowed up, whole Amashri Yito, and the entire nation is with him. So as I ask the question, why is he so concerned? He already gave advice. His advice was accepted. What was the advice? That don't attack tonight. Spend some time, gather up the cavalry, gather up a bunch of soldiers, and then once you have a massive army, then you can attack him, maybe in a week, a month. So why is he saying, don't sleep tonight? Let him sleep. Let him have a good night's sleep for once. Why does he have to cross the Jordan? So we'll see. Rashi tells us, Pen Yevula Lamelech, and I apologize, this is not underlined. Shelo Yatztiv Latova. Perhaps the advice that he's going to give is, except, is not the good advice that which I gave. Who knows? Maybe he'll accept Achitovel's advice. He'll change his mind. Right? Yeah, absolutely. And let's see, the Radak says something similar. And then to me, my favorite is Mr. David. Let's see the Radak. Pen Yevul Amelech says, echoes the similar concept of that which Rashi said. Pen Yishchat, perhaps he will be destroyed. Fine. Then quotes the pasuk in Iyov. Then it says, "Ki yari ani, I'm afraid." Shem yasu atzas achitofel. Maybe he'll listen to Achitofel's advice. Afal pi shamru. Even though he said to me, "Ki tov atzdi me'atzaso." Even though he said that my advice is better than his advice, namely my advice, Hushai's advice is better than Achitofel's. Ulai, perhaps. Titafech daitam. Benahapachu, right, for Purim time, right? Maybe his mind will change. Adain l'atzos Achitofel. He liked Achitofel's advice. Then he listened to mine. He liked my advice better. Maybe he's going to change his mind again. Uchein lotolin olayil barbas hamidbar. I do not want you to stay here for even a night in this place. Shenodat sham el avor olayil yardin. Rather, you should go to the Jordan. To me, the Mesudas David is so powerful. If we look at the Mesudas David, very short, but very powerful. He doesn't say that perhaps Avshalom is going to change his mind. Listen to this. And this, to me, really, really is an unbelievable mindset of the mind games that goes on. Al Tolan says to Mesudas David, Ki pen yasek yatzis achitayf. Right, as we said before, maybe he'll listen to Achitofel's advice. Why would he listen to Achitofel's advice? He already said he's going to listen to my advice, to Hushai's advice. Listen to this. Uvarom omru shosati yishara. Perhaps the reason why he said to me that, you know what, Hushai, I like your advice, he wasn't really being honest. He was being what?
Trickery.
It was through trickery. He was trying to fool me into believing that my advice would be better. Why? So that I would think, oh, you know what? It's very good. I don't have to worry, because after all, I have nothing to fear. After all, David can sleep here tonight. He accepted my advice. But Avshalom never wanted to listen to Hushai's advice. Maybe Avshalom only really embraced Hushai, knowing that he was really a spy, that he would deliberately say things to him so that it would go back to David to make David feel more comfortable, right?
Wow.
And then he'd be able to pounce on him. That's how the Mesudas David says. It's so amazing. Because that really makes a lot of sense, because as we said before in the previous parak, that Avshalom knew that Hushai and David were very, very close friends. They were companions. To the point that he said, what are you doing here? You should be with my father. So he said, well, no, I respect the king, you're the king, but come on. It's possible what the Mesudas David is saying, brilliantly, is Avshalom really knew he was a spy, and he was comfortable with him being a spy, and he wanted to make sure that he would hear specific things so that it would go back to David, and then now we'll be able to, in fact, listen to the advice of Achitofel. Because you can also say, he always listened to the advice of Achitofel. So all of a sudden he says, you know, I really like Achitophel's advice. Oh, Hushai, what do you have to say about it?
But Achitophel was,
very interesting.
But Achitophel was, again, like Hushai on both sides.
What, in which way?
Achitophel really wasn't. He was for Absalom. Hushai was there under
yeah,
both
but before he was for Absalom,
he was for Absalom.
He was
for but Hushai
so was
this
so as far as Absalom was concerned, they were both
Avshalom presumably also knew. Avshalom also knew of this relationship that Dov and Hushai had, right?
And so was Achitophel.
Achitophel, right? Achitophel knew certainly.
No, Achitophel was also a kind of
advice.
Oh, right, at one point.
So why maybe he didn't trust Achitophel also? That's what she's trying to say.
He was in, as far as trust, he was the same, it was the same for him.
True.
As far as he was concerned.
That's true.
And he had the youth, his youth.
He was with him longer. Achitophel
right.
went on to his side.
Correct.
Achitophel was also longer with David.
Correct. But Achitophel already gave some good advice. Achitophel already advised him to go to Yerushalayim, advised him to kill his father before. So, I mean, there were a lot of...
It doesn't mean that he enjoyed it. He enjoyed doing it, following. It must have been hard for Absalom as well to do what he did.
To do what?
Yes,
to go against his father.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, Absalom, as we said before...
He was looking for a lot of approval.
Right, yeah. That's what he wanted. That's why he went to Yerushalayim.
Right.
He went back. He was waiting. His father ignored him for an extended period of time.
He's the same guy who was so upset about Tamar. He's in a way, he's a family man in his own way.
So he probably would not have wanted to have harmed his father, except for the fact that he's being pressured by this, his people.
He's blinded by the way he... As far as David was concerned about the way David behaved with him.
Okay. So anyway, so this is what, regardless, this is what was said in order that David should cross the Jordan. So Pasuk Zayin tells us, Vayonasan v'achimatz oimdim be'in rogel. So Yonasan v'achimatz, they were standing at this place in rogel. V'holcha hashivcha, and there was a maidservant that was there. V'higidu lehem, v'hem yelchu, v'higidu lemelech David. So what they did was that they felt that instead of going themselves, what they decided to do was that they should inform this simple woman, this shivcha, this maidservant, and that they can go, as translated, go and tell them so that they may go and tell King David. So what ended up happening was, instead of having told these people directly, they decided to go through a shivcha, a maidservant, to tell this information to them, so that they would be able to give the information to David. As the pasuk concludes, "Ki lo yochul lehei ra'os lavo ha'ira," for that they should not be observed entering into the city. It would look a little bit fishy that you have these men going into the city. So therefore, because of this, they decided to have a shivcha to intervene on their behalf. If you look in English over here on page 317, it explains a little bit better. It says, it would have appeared very suspicious if the two young Kohanim had come into the city to meet with their fathers and then dashed off in the direction of David's camp. Right? So these two boys, Yehonasan and Achimatz, were the children of Sadok and Abiasar. So it would have been for them to have gone into the city to have listened to their father what was told by Hushai to their fathers, and then all of a sudden they're running. Where are you running? Where are you going? What's going on? Would have been very suspicious. This is why the message had been sent to them in Rogel through the maid servant. So instead they decided to have this person who seemingly was not involved in this matter, and therefore it would no longer arouse any suspicion, and therefore the chances would be impossible for anyone to see. Well, maybe not impossible, because that's what Pasuk Ches tells us. V'yaro sam nar. There was a nar, there was a child, there was a lad that did see what was going on. There was someone, you know, there's eyes everywhere. So, unfortunately, there was someone that saw what happened. But Yagid Avshalom, and it was told to Avshalom what was going on. So therefore, Avshalom now realized that there was spies in their midst, and therefore that they were interested now upon overtaking these two young men, these Kohanim, and probably to have them killed for acting as spies. V'yelchu shnehem mehera. So the two of them went quickly, v'yavo el beis ish babachurim. They went into this person's home in Bachurim, which you can see on the map where that's located. V'lo be'er b'chatzero v'yer dusham. And there was a be'er, there was a well, and they went inside of it. So they went down into this particular well. These two guys, right? Because they realized that very easily would they be killed. So they had no choice but to hide in this particular place. Okay, but tikach isha. So the woman doesn't mention who this guy is. It doesn't mention who the woman is, but we're going to see something which is unbelievable in the English on the next page after we finish this pasuk. But tifros es hamosach al pnei haber. So fine, they're in a pit. All you have to do is look down and say, "Hey, how you doing, guys? You're right there. Let's kill you now. Please come on out." Execution style. So instead, what this woman did, in order to save their lives, she spread over this type of cloth, al pnei haber. V'tishtach alav harifot. Rifos is chitim, says the Mesudas Sion. It's like dry. They would dry up wheat so that the sun, it would be exposed to the sun, much like grapes and raisins, I guess, to make it a nice dry grain, make it nice and dry to get the moisture out. So she spread, she put a sheet, and she put all this wheat and junk all over it. V'lo noda davar. So no one would have any idea that there was anything there, right? You would just think it's a big pile of wheat. So if you look on the next page, on page 318, it says that according to the Medrash, which is it's the top left in the English on page 318, this man, whose house did they run to, was none other than Shimi, son of Gera. So who is Shimi ben Gera? A resident of Bachurim. So we mentioned the previous parak. Of all people, you would not want to run into this guy's house, because this was the man who had stoned David and cursed him bitterly. If you remember the previous parak, there was this man who happened not to be a simple person, but he was the head of the Sanhedrin, and he was so angry, and he was calling David a murderer, and he was kicking dirt, he was throwing rocks, and he was actually told by one of his men, "Could you do me a favor? Could you just let me kill him? This guy's crazy." From Sheva ben Yamin. He was angry at what David did. He had overthrown Shaul and the whole thing. So he looked at David as a killer, as a bloodthirsty guy. So where did the people who show allegiance to David, hide? In this person's home. The guy who would love to take a rock and smash it into David's head. That's what he was trying to do. He's throwing stones at the king.
Hide them and nobody would know. I mean, this is not Buckingham Palace here. You're talking about a little, even David's palace was small. You're talking about a little, a house, even if it's a house with servants around. How could no servants see? How could.
Right.
How? I mean, I don't understand.
I'm sure it wasn't midday.
So let me.
Midday. I'm sure it wasn't midday.
It wasn't midday. I'm then sure. How did the wife know? Where was she then if it was in the middle of the night?
She could have been following me.
Let me finish this paragraph, and then maybe, to me, I think this actually was one of the best places for them to hide. And we'll maybe.
Yeah, thus, it's
an obvious.
Right, that was good. That I understand.
That what?
First of all, right. How did they know that the wife would be there and not the husband? That
right.
The wife would hide them.
Right.
The wife wouldn't tell them.
And the wife wouldn't tell, and that the servants didn't see.
Right.
Nobody saw. I mean, this is. And yes, I understand that part. We put aside that I understand.
that way it makes perfect sense. That's like, well, no one in a million years would even think to check. Why would you have to check there, you know?
Right.
Because
that,
this guy hates David.
You're
so you think it's like
who are spying for David.
Right.
Are spying for David.
Right.
So
they wouldn't know
where to hide.
Well, these were kids.
They didn't think they would have to do that.
These were young kids doing it.
Put aside that it's Hashgacha Pratit. It's the obvious place to hide.
But how did they know that they could hide there, that the wife would be there at that time? This happened quickly. But how did they know that there would be no servants around that would tell the husband?
Because it must have been an hour that there were no servants around to tell.
It's a story, you know, maybe.
So let's finish this paragraph in the English. So it says, David's loyal servants were sheltered by the wife of a man who hated him bitterly, but she did not share her husband's animosity and did not report them to her husband or Avshalom's soldiers. This too was part of the divine providence to protect David. And in fact, as we're going to see, let's just see this next pasuk, and maybe this will shed more light into it, and then I'm going to share a nice little Purim Dvar Torah in a second. Vayavo avde Avshalom or Pasachah El Isha Habaisa. So the servants of Avshalom, they went to this woman. Vayomru Ayi Achimatz Vayonasan. Where are these two guys? The Temple of Hema Isha. Avru Michal Hamoy. They probably went over the waters. So even though if you see on the map, there's no way that she knew definitively that they crossed the Jordan River, because if she's living in Bahurim, you can see that is more than a stone's throw away from the Yarden. But perhaps, as some of the Mefarshim explain, is that this is what she was told by them. The Avashu, they looked around a little bit. Bumatsau, they didn't find anything. Yashuvu Yerushalayim. So they decided, you know what, let's just go back to Yerushalayim. So the Yalkut tells us something interesting. Who was Shimi ben Gera? This guy who was throwing stones, who was really a tzaddik. It says that his wife, what did she do? She saved these people using chachmasa, using her knowledge, her wisdom, and also Mesiras Nefesh. She was Moiser Nefesh. And we hear these types of stories in the Shoah, people that hide people. And if they would have opened that up, yeah, they would have been killed. You know, protecting the enemy? You know, you can't do that. And it says like this. This is the Yalkut. It was Schus Kach. Because she was able to use her wisdom and also to risk her life in order to save a Jew, because of this, from her came forth the two great heroes of Mordechai and Esther, Ishimini, right? They come from Benjamin. Shatzilu es Am Yisrael be'es Gezeres Haman. So when their own enemies were about to persecute and be involved in mass genocide against the Jewish people, so she also hid, so to speak. She hid herself, which was also a form of tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. She was made herself completely vulnerable. She could have easily been killed. But because of her Chachman, her Mesiras Nefesh, it was already in her DNA from the wife of this...
the name of this wonderful person, this woman?
The
Isha. Shimi ben Gera.
Yeah. She also didn't have a name. Anonymous women.
He had a lot of...
But Esther also didn't have a name. She had a name, but she was hidden. Esther means Hester.
Yeah.
Her whole essence was hiding. Her whole essence. She didn't have one name. Was her name Esther? Was a Hadassah? No one knew where she was from. No one knew her religion. Her whole life was a mystery. So this woman's also life was a mystery. She has more recognition. There's a book named after her, but there's no recognition.
Right.
Correct. But it was because of her and her merit that Esther had the strength to be able to do what she did.
Because of this woman?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Wisdom
it was chuskach. It was in her merit.
It's the wisdom that's ran in the family.
It was certainly the same tribe. It sounds like generation, many generations later, they were directly a direct family tree, straight down, gets to Mordechai and to Esther. So that doesn't necessarily, what do you mean the schus? The way I always understand the schus is that if you have people that you can look up to, you can emulate those people, if they could do it, I can do it. Sometimes if it's never been done before, it's impossible. But when someone is able to accomplish something, then I can also strive for that. You know, if it's something which is seemingly impossible, then I'm not even going to make any efforts. Yeah, it has to be something which you think is obtainable. If it's not obtainable, you don't try. So the fact that she was able to use all of her chokhmah and her mesiras nefesh to save a Jew, Esther said, you know what, I could do the same thing.
She doesn't even lie. She doesn't even lie when she says that the face by the chalmaim, she's right.
What does she say?
She says to them, when they ask her,
right,
what happened to these two men? She says they went by the Michal Mayim.
They
crossed the body. Michal is a container of water. She didn't say they did. They were there and they left.
And then she didn't say she crossed. It doesn't say the specific.
No,
crossed the Jordan. Said
why
it was very.
Something that body that contains water.
Exactly, so it could mean one of a million things.
That's
so she
right.
Spoke deliberately vague,
that's
so as not to lie, but also not to.
Right.
Very good. Which also again makes sense that a lot of the Mefarshim don't like the explanation that it was the Jordan, right? It's what it says in English.
Means a container of water.
If you look in the English over here on the bottom on the right side, it says Rashi and others assume that it is a river. Or a flowing body of water, as you said. It doesn't have to be river necessarily. The Targum translates the word simply as the Jordan. This is difficult because it's a considerable distance from Jerusalem, or, you know, from where she was, which it says that she was really in Bahurim. Okay, they were traveling from Bahurim. Anyway, the point is that it was very difficult to assume that, in fact, that's what it is. So that's a good point. Okay, let's move on. Now we're going to get into the next. We're going to see only the next three psukim, and the next certainly the last pasuk is the most famous pasuk, which is discussed at length. We'll touch upon it today, then we'll talk about it more next week. Vayachri lechtum. So it was after that everyone had left and departed. Vialu miha be'er. So they ascended from the. Well, v'yelcho v'yagidu l'melech David, and they went to tell David this whole matter that had transpired. V'yomrel David.
I thought they told the shivcha to go.
No, the shivcha to go tell the boys.
Right.
Or the father, and then the father told the boys.
Wait, I'm confused. I thought the boys went to the shivcha of David to tell David. No.
What was it?
The kohanim will tell David.
The shivcha was sent to tell the kohanim,
yeah.
What to tell the son. The shivcha wasn't David shivcha to tell the shivcha.
Vayelchu shneihem mehira vayavo el beis ish.
Where
is it?
She hastened.
When he went to the
Surely the fathers and the sons could not have conversed. We did not want them to converse because as soon as that would have happened, the two children would have run out of the city. So they needed someone in between the two of those.
Tell the boys.
Because otherwise it would look very fishy that all of a sudden the fathers are saying, Hushai speaks to these two men. Then all of a sudden the two men speak to their children. The children run out. Right? Running to the hills. Like, why? So they got up from the well. They spoke to the king. El Amayim. See, here again it just says water. Go to the water. Because of this advice that Achitofel gave, if you stay here, you're sitting ducks. Get out. So, Vayakum David, David doesn't wait, he gets up. All the people that are with him, Vayabru es ha-Yarden, they cross the Jordan. Ad Or ha-Boker, so he wanted to attack at night. So clearly this was maybe in that range. It was getting dark. You know, he said maybe it was. So when they were hiding in this well, it was probably getting dark in that range. It was certainly the later part of the day. And when it came to the morning's light, ad achad lo nedar asher lo avar seyarden. There was not a single person that was missing. Nedar is chasar. There was not a single person missing that was not across the Jordan. There was not a single person that did not make this journey across the Jordan. So now we're going to read this last pasuk. We only have a couple of minutes, but we're going to discuss it very short, just a couple pieces, and we'll talk more about it next time. You're not supposed to end off on such a sad note. Maybe this is not such a sad note. V'achi toifel ra kilo ne'esa atzaso. So Achitofel saw that his advice was not accepted by Avshalom. So what happens when you don't get your advice accepted? Okay, so I'll give better advice next time. No big deal. V'achavosh es hachamor. He saddles his donkey. Now, whenever we find in Tanakh a person saddling his donkey, a person of prominence, we always know it represents that there is something seriously out of control.
Bilam
saddles his donkey, and Rashi said that sinna is mekalkelet the tashur, causes a person not to be able to think rationally. A person on such a level, Bilam wouldn't saddle his own donkey. He wanted to curse the Jews so much that he saddles his own donkey. Another person saddles his own donkey. Avraham Avinu, Avraham. But over there it says ahava mekalkelet the tashur. Love and hate are the two strong emotions that can cause a person to do things that a person who can think rationally, you don't think rationally. So he was clearly not thinking rationally. He obviously was very emotional and very upset that he was not accepted his advice. He was now being played second fiddle to Hushai. Vayakum vayelech el pesa. So what does he do? He goes to his house, takes the day off, maybe he goes to Bermuda. What does he do? El Iro, maybe he has some schnapps. Goes to his house, v'itzav el beso, and he goes and gives his last will and testament to the people in his house. Vayechanak. What does vayechanak mean?
He hung himself.
He killed himself. He committed suicide. Concludes this pasuk. Vayamas, he died. V'kaver b'kever aviv, and he was buried in the burial plot of his father. So, doesn't really discuss. So some explain that the reason why did he do this? Why would he have killed himself? So let's just go through. Let's see the Radak in the Mitzvot David, and maybe I'll share that, address that answer. The Radak says V'yitzav el beso k'derech adam karov misa. A person knows that his time is imminent. He's going to be dying. He goes and speaks to the people in his house, what shall be afterwards? Medaber beso v'nachlaso. He talks about his house. He talks about his possessions. He gives his last words, like we find in the Torah. Yaakov Avinu, right? He speaks to all of his kids.
Why should he even think that?
He knows it's all over. It's clearly all over.
So let's see.
Then he's taking his advice. But still, then, and he killed
himself. Right, let's see. So let's just see the Radak Masudas David. You're right. That's one of the explanations. So he strangles himself, says the Radak. Bachar lohomis atzma. He chose to kill himself. Vlo yamitu David. Not that he should wait until David kills him. Ki yadna ki kivan shlo nesasa atzaso. He knew that his advice was right. And that if his advice would have been carried out, David would be dead and all would be well. But instead, for some reason, Avishalom accepts Hushai's advice, and guess what's going to end up happening? Ki Avishalom v'chol asher imo yipul bi'ad David. He knew that now that David will have a chance to defend himself, it's all over. And once Avshalom is gone, David is going to be the king. And what was he? He was Mord B'Malchus. He's rebelling against the king. Rebelling against the king, you're dead. So why should I wait to be killed? I might as well kill myself before. As soon as David says, Chanak et atzmo, he strangled himself, ki hemin, because he believed. Miatan she David yachsel malchuso, similar to what Radach says, he's going to go back to being the king. Ki yahargu kimord b'malchus. And I'm going to be killed as someone who's Mord B'Malchus. Now this is what Mesudas David adds, which shows the sensitivity and the forethought of Achitofel. If you're Mord B'Malchus, you have two strikes against you. Not only do you get killed by the king, but as an added bonus, every single nickel in your pocket, everything that you own, automatically goes to the king. You are no longer the owner of anything. That's why he killed himself. He was thinking about his little enachlach. He cared about so much about his kids and his grandkids, right?
There's even more than that, I think. I think where he was buried, buried with Avotecha was so important. With Avraham,
right.
Yosef, and then
This this is what it says in the Mishpatot Zahav, and then we'll talk a little bit more about how Achitofel lost his portion of what to come. We'll talk about why that may be. Is it because of someone who commits suicide? And we'll talk very briefly next week about what are some halachot when it comes to that. Shiva and things of that nature. Let me just share one last thought to answer your question. He wanted to be buried in his father's cemetery. That if you are killed by a king, through being Mord B'Malchus, you don't have the privilege of being buried at your burial plot, but rather you have the third added bonus that not only are your possessions taken away, but they bury you in a special place for all the people who are Mord B'Malchus. This is where you're buried. So because, and that's why the Pasuk says that he was buried covered by Keravit, is because that was one of his intentions, is so that he would not have to be humiliated for eternity to be buried among the Mord B'Malchus.
Not only his name, it's also his parents' name, the name before him. The good name that the family has.
He would have done. Right, but instead he's buried there. So which indicates, clearly, based on this, someone who commits suicide, are they allowed to be buried? So the Pasuk apparently clearly shows, what does it say? That he's be called buried Kevar Aviv. That you could. These are things that we're going to discuss
it's
next time.
Very interesting.